How old is he?
Hey, welcome back to the QU Podcast. I'm Wyatt Randolph, joined today by Nicole Magg and Olivia Clark, two prominent aviation students here at Quincy University. Would you guys like to introduce yourself? Maybe tell us about your time here at Quincy University?
Yeah, so I'm Olivia Clark. I am a junior in aviation, and that's about it. My roommate Nicole is also here.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm also an aviation major, senior year.
So how is it flying now that you're back here at campus? Has it been easy? Has it been an adjustment? What's going on?
Well, I stayed here over the summer, and the first few months, we weren't allowed to fly. And then finally we got a waiver to sign, and finally we were able to get back into it. During those months, I got to be in the simulator, which that was pretty harsh because the simulator is, really touchy. Every single movement, it, exaggerates, too. Yep. So, ooh.
You got it.
So, it's just a big change going from the simulator to the plane.
Is the simulator still out in that hangar? It's tucked in on the side of the...
They've moved it inside. They've got a whole new, system, actually.
Yeah.
It's the Redbird technology.
I have no idea. Yes. Does Austin sit in there with you when you do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Austin is her flight instructor.
Yes.
Now, when you're flying in the simulator, is it harder to simulate flight in your mind just because you're out of it? You're not in the plane exactly, are you able to adapt? Are you able to adjust?
I'm able to adjust other than getting on the radios. I completely forget about radio calls. In there, because I'm no one else needs to know where I'm at.
Yeah,
I'm
You call your position, you're the airport. You know,
I'm inside.
Yeah. Oh no. Wow. Have you gotten any simulator time or?
No. Is it mainly for instrument?
Yeah. I mean, so there'd be no benefit to being in there for the private.
So no, I haven't yet.
Yeah, the only time I'd ever been on a real simulator, funded by an airport. I crashed it because I tried to switch planes. Not crash physically, but the system, the program.
Oh.
I crashed it.
Oh, man.
Trying to switch some of the settings. Because originally it was set up just to fly a 172.
Yeah.
Here, try it out. But then I looked at the files on what planes were available. Oh. And one of them was the space shuttle.
Yes.
Another one was, a Boeing.
Yeah.
And so I just.
Space shuttle.
I put it on something small, I think they had a Spitfire on there, something from World War II.
Yeah.
I was I want to see what that's like. It just crashed the whole system.
Oh,
like
oh
the screen
gosh.
Went, it didn't go black. It went the pixelated, purple,
yep.
And I was oh no. And and the guy walked back because I was supposed to do some simulator time. He walked back and he was talking about something else. And so I just stood up and walked away to another part of the building for a while.
Right.
And I walked back and they're yeah, sorry you didn't get to do any simulator time. It looks like something's wrong with the program.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just sweating, but I'm oh yeah, something must have gone wrong there. That's sucks. So let's get in the real plane.
Yeah,
let's get in the real plane.
Yeah, the absolute panic. Do they make you wear masks and stuff in the plane?
No.
What about when you go to? Have you gone to any other airports since you've been flying during COVID?
We've never stopped
and
there.
Gone in. Yeah.
So
I
you're confined to the Quincy Airport.
We've flown to Decatur, and we're going to go to Jeff City this coming up week, but I don't think we're going to stop in.
Just touch and goes?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that'll be, it's weird to think of pilots isolating themselves.
Yeah.
You know, even because you're in your plane, you think you're alone, but then there is a social aspect to the whole flying.
Yeah.
Traveling and everything. You got to interact with so many people.
Yep.
I know it can't be that
safe. Everyone wants to know
where you're
going.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have you guys been having problems with the masks, or are you okay with it? Have you adjusted? What's going on?
I don't mind them at all.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, it's respectful to wear them for the elderly or people who are concerned about the coronavirus.
Yeah, you think about others.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You should always try to help everyone else, even if you don't think it'll do anything for you. I think, that is kind of selfless.
Yeah.
So you guys were talking about masks and Halloween. I know that's coming up. Halloween's one of my favorite holidays. And you are already supposed to be wearing a mask, so I could see it as still being a possibility. What do you guys think about that?
I think that it's going to be hard to ask, like, especially smaller children to keep their mask on going to other people's houses. But for the most part, I feel like if the parents are there to supervise and make sure that the mask stays on, it's possible.
Okay. But it's also, like, the people, like, handing out candy. Like, if you don't need everyone there, like, turn off your light, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Like, they have the option to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
Do you think the system shouldn't change at all where it's, all right, let's say I'm a little kid in my Superman outfit, and I run up to the door, and, you know, you knock, and then the person goes, oh, that's such a cute, you know, yeah, you look yeah. just like... And then they give you the candy, and that's the interaction usually.
Yeah.
But do you think it should change? Maybe, like, there should only be those take one kind of bowls, you know?
Yeah.
Those ones that the kids are always, like,
there's more people touching all the candy inside.
That's true.
But then they don't interact with the person inside the house at all. That cuts out them interacting with each kid that comes up to the house.
Yeah.
Like, puts the people inside the house out of danger, but everyone, like, getting the candy, the children.
It would turn the focus of it onto who's participating
in
the trick or treating rather than the people in their homes.
Yeah.
But that, again, I feel like that's just up to the homeowner themselves. Uh-huh. If they feel it's safer to put out a bowl, then they can.
Yeah.
I personally would love for my little brother to, like, still be able to do Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, he really gets into it. He just had a birthday, turned 11.
Oh, good.
And it was a Back to the Future theme.
Oh, cute.
And so that's awesome.
He's already got a lab coat and, like, the big old crazy hair Dr. for Halloween God. Ready. He's
Are you guys going to take your puppies?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They actually just shaved my dog without telling me the other day. Oh. And so I walked in.
Because he's big and fluffy.
Yeah, I walked into my dorm for my normal weekly family Zoom call.
Yeah.
And there was this random dog.
Oh, no.
There that I'd never seen before. It was skinny. It was velvet.
Happy to see you.
And it was so happy to see me on the it was like it heard my voice and it did the whine that he always does when he's scared. And he was like looking.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's not my dog.
Yeah.
Cuz anyone who knows my dog, he is a mop.
Yeah.
He is a
that's
he is a
way to describe him.
He's a
solo?
Yeah, he's a Bernie Doodle. So he's mixed with a this big old Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle. So his hair is hypoallergenic, long, and fluffy.
Yep.
Always has been. But they shaved it down, and so you could actually see, like, the skin underneath his hair. It was so light. It was like a buzz cut.
Yeah.
And he just looked so happy. He was so finally not free hot and everything. Like, he was free to do whatever. But my whole family has just been adjusting to it. They're like, they ruined our dog. He's so funny. But yeah, that whole party, they said he was so happy and running around and stuff. So yeah, I'm actually glad to go. I'm getting ready to go home, man. I miss my family, you know. I'm glad for the holidays coming up. You guys excited for the holidays?
Yeah, for sure. I am. My sister will be back from med school. She's been in Kansas City for quite a while. Yeah. So it'll be nice to have her back and have Aaron there and, you know, all of us.
Your younger sister, Aaron?
Yep.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, my parents are, like, starting to redo the house. So it's kind of going to be chaotic, but it'll be nice to help my dad with it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I've found that it doesn't really matter what you're doing with your family. As long as you're doing it with them, that's what matters. Yeah, because a lot of times I get conned to do a bunch of work for my dad. But then when I look back, I'm always, I spent that whole weekend with my dad. That's all I think about.
Yeah, you know? I totally agree.
My family's really been missing me. Like, my mom's calling me every day. My
dad, didn't your sister just come up?
Crazy. Yeah. She came up. We had, like, some pizza and Starbucks. It was, like, a really quick visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom is always asking me, like, so when are you coming home?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
And my mom, it's so embarrassing, you know, because I learned how to do laundry, you know, in high school. You know?
Yeah.
But my mom will always make the excuse to come up to visit.
To do my laundry.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, we can go and we can, as it's going, you know, we can get lunch. You know, like that's always her go-to excuse. But since all the COVID and everything, and I've been here at school, I've had all the free time in the world. So I've done my laundry, you know, I do it like basically daily.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. And so then she was like, yeah, I'll come up and do laundry. I'm like, actually, I got it all done. She's like, I'll come up and
clean.
Do your laundry.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay. So really that all that meant was I came and talked to her and we got lunch. But it's so funny that she's very adamant on like visiting, even though I told her.
That's
a rule.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, my family's great, man. They keep you going.
Yeah.
It is. I am looking forward to these holidays. I know that Thanksgiving always gets me on my diet. Baby. You know, all year I do really well, and then Thanksgiving comes around and I gain about 100 pounds.
So. All year I do really badly.
Thanksgiving's when you think about it.
I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I always sign up for that those 5Ks in the morning right before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really help. It just makes me feel terrible. But
yeah. Jeez. My uncle, he experiments with the turkey every year. And last year it was,
he's making like a turkey key where it's got like a turkey stuffed into another turkey.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Deep fryer outside.
Yeah. Ooh. He's done that one year. Yeah. That was rough. It was fine. It just didn't have like flavor and it was kind of dry. But it's interesting when he gets to cooking, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever had a deep fried Oreo?
No, but I bet it's good. Yes. Does it still have the crunch?
I felt
crunch?
Terrible the whole time putting it into my mouth. It was also wrapped in bacon.
Yeah. Oh, ooh.
So that's where the crunch goes. Really? Is to that. Yeah, because it gets kind of mushy inside.
Okay, but that's what I expected.
But they did. Yeah, there's deep fried Twinkies, Oreos. Okay. I've seen an ice cube once. That was pretty cool. They opened it and it was just water inside.
Weird.
That's crazy. Did it still have its shape?
Yeah, it was like one of those. Moon shaped ones, you know, the crescent shaped one, and it came out like that, and then they just went and the water just came out because it melted.
So
during the process.
So disturbing to see.
Those are always so fascinating to me because it's like
it holds its the shape.
Yeah, and I love the culture thought of it where people were like meeting at a fair. It's outside. It's hot. You know, in my mind, I don't ever think about greasy food.
Yeah,
like fattening food, but then somebody there was like, you know, what'll make money.
Yeah, here in America.
You know how we make those corn dogs over there and then we give everybody diabetes?
Yeah.
Let's do that, but let's put even worse food in there.
Yes, yep.
You know, let's throw the Twinkie in there. Let's throw, I think I saw deep fried cheesecake once.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That was at the Missouri State Fair.
Okay.
That was awesome.
The Oreo wrapped in bacon is what the cooking class at my school did.
No.
In high school. I was like, why would you?
We made meatballs. Like,
so that's gourmet is what I'm hearing. Yeah. That's a delicacy somewhere.
Well.
Have you guys ever had?
We all got to choose. Like,
oh.
A student got to choose.
Oh. Okay.
One day. Yeah.
Got it.
And it was you.
No, I never took cooking class. I kind of wanted to, but like I never took the time out to do it.
One year, our cooking classroom got set on fire. It was like a real fire in our high school.
Gosh.
Yeah, and it was on the fourth floor.
And it was cooking related. It wasn't somebody going like, I hate cooking. Like,
no.
Leave the stove on.
Me every time I'm leaving my dorm.
Oh, well.
But you do it on accident. I'm saying somebody malintent.
Yeah, that's no. Very
malintent.
True.
No, it was like it was a real fire.
What is what's the biggest kitchen accident you've ever had? I know what mine is.
What's yours?
Mine is I felt it was the winter.
Okay.
And I decided to make pizza for dinner. So I was just toss it in the oven. This is here at Quincy.
Okay.
And so I toss it in the oven and I eat my pizza and everything was good. And then I go to bed.
Oh, you left the oven on?
Yeah. So it was the middle of winter and it was super cold, like even in my dorm. So I was just bundled up in blankets, you know, like I wasn't really thinking about it. But I woke up that morning sweating.
Oh.
My
no.
dorm was like a hot. Total sauna. And what I thought is, since the heater was broken, I thought they'd fix the heater, like the heat of the building, that night or something. And I was not thinking about it. Like, wow, that is intense heat.
Oh, man.
And then I just, and then I stood up. So I had left it on for a couple hours, and I was like, oh, no. But I was just really calm. Like, I didn't open it. I was like, as soon as that happens, fire alarms go off. So I opened the window up to the, it was snowing outside. And I opened, so there was snow.
Like, just blowing like, in?
Yeah, so it was cold air coming in. And I just, like, let it, you know, regulate the room again. But that was the biggest, as I was like, I'm glad I caught that within a couple hours. Because that was pretty bad.
Could have been really bad.
Yeah, that was pretty discriminatory. I probably shouldn't be saying it. But, yeah, no, that's the biggest one I've had. What about you?
Well, earlier this this year, we were talking about how my mom has melted Tupperware in the microwave.
Oh, before. Yeah.
And as I was talking about it, I completely forgot I had Tupperware in the microwave. And I melted my Tupperware.
Yep.
I would love that if you were, like, lecturing your mom. You're like, Mom, you can't do that kind of stuff. Closes the microwave.
I was standing there talking to Olivia yep. and Courtney, my other roommate.
Yeah. Okay.
Talking, and I was like, I can't believe she did that. Like, how do you do that? And then I did it. It was like, oh, my goodness. I can't believe that just happened.
A whole corner of it was just gone.
That is so good. That's so freaking funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I guess I've left forks and stuff in like bowls or like spoons, and that ruins the microwave. I've done that before. You see like sparks and stuff going, and you're like, oh no.
Whenever I was little, I didn't know that that would happen. And my parents left us at home with my older brother a lot. Okay. So I was just going to have some leftover spaghetti. I was going to say mac and cheese, but it was spaghetti.
Yeah.
And I put the whole pot in the microwave. And my brother runs in because he hears like all the sparks. Yeah. He's like, I was like, what is happening? He's like, you can't do that. He called me a moron. Oh. And then I was like, what do you mean I can't do that? What's wrong?
Yeah.
What is wrong?
Like, I didn't know why it was sparking right. and everything.
Yeah. No. That what's that that joke you tell people, like, oh, if you want to straighten out tinfoil, you put it in the microwave for a few minutes.
I've never heard that one. Oh. But at that age, I probably would have been like, oh, okay.
Oh, man, I both love those kind of pranks, but I also hate them. Because I've been there. So I feel really bad, but also you should have saw that coming.
Yeah.
My dad's played a couple of those on me. First time I went to go have, like, my car fixed.
Yeah.
He's like, ask him to fix your blinker fluid.
Oh, my God, and you fell for it?
I did. Oh, my God. And they were like, your dad, he's Patrick Magg, right? And
oh, I was no,
like,
go.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so we don't have blinker fluid. I was like,
I feel like that's a common dad thing. They're just like, how do I torture my kid today? You know, builds He's character, so Nicole. Builds character.
I have so much character.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's funny. Yeah, no, I, my dad, he doesn't like to prank you. He does or things like that. He'll just make fun of when you are after you've done something wrong. Like, how could you make that? That's the easy, you know, like just for the rest of your life, he'll bring it up.
Oh man.
And that's some character development.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, but, I love that kind of, that like dad humor.
Yeah.
I always go back into that when I'm, trying to be funny. Yeah. It just turns into me being like, oh, hi, hungry. I'm what, you know, like, all of those. Because when somebody says them to me, the feeling I get is intense rage. I'm like, how dare
That's
you
so
go back to a dad joke? How dare you? But with them, it's whenever it's me doing it to somebody else or my dad doing it to me, I'm like, this just, you know, that's fine. That's natural. This is our apex of humor. So why fight that? Everyone else, I'm like, you're stooping way too low for that. Oh my gosh.
Do you know if dad jokes are like common throughout every culture?
I don't know about other cultures. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I know in most cultures, not most, I mean, but I know in a lot of other cultures, parenting is more of a serious, strict, always strict sort of a viewpoint.
You like know, not like, friends with your kids type thing.
Yeah, but I think dad jokes kind of came with dads who are like, I want my kids to like me.
Yeah.
I want to be funny, but I also have to be, you know, like
mature. And
yeah, mature. Well, not mature, because a dad joke
immature.
Is not
clean. Yeah.
I have to be. Clean. I have to be relatable to my kid, but I can't be like vulgar and the humor I would that people would normally use. They have to use stuff that's very innocent and cheesy, so that it makes their kid laugh, but it's also like. You know, your partner won't be like, what did you just say to our child? You know? Oh, my gosh. My dad, like, my dad's humor ranges from dad humor to, like, the really complicated stories, you know, from when he was younger. And so I know I'm in it for the long haul when his story lasts more than like a few seconds. Yes. If it's short, then you know it's going to be a dad joke. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be a punchline in the next few minutes. But then if it starts getting into one of those long stories where there's like no payoff, you know, where it's like he keeps talking about it for an hour and then he's like, well, that's it. No, you know, and it's like, so there was no payoff for that.
Yep.
So I love dads like that where it's they always keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
You know, they always keep you just slightly embarrassed all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Always making you think stay humble. They want you to stay humble.
Yeah.
Stay humble, people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My dad's not funny. He just does things that are funny, like to me because I'm getting older. But if he had he has Facebook and he posts the most embarrassing things on Facebook. Like he has like 5 or 6 posts and they're all like dumb stuff that he has done or it's our dogs. It's like, oh, Dad, of all things that you could put on there, it's that, you know.
My dad doesn't really post anything. He'll just like things or comment obsessively on things. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, you did not need to tell that person.
Yeah, nope. Sometimes my mom gets a hold of my dad's Facebook, and then that happens, where I'm just like, you should not have said that on there. That is, everyone can see that.
Yeah, I think a lot of parents don't realize that.
Yeah.
That everyone can see it.
Yeah. My mom kind of used Facebook as like a storage device for photos for a while. Oh. Like there were many on her account. And finally she went through them all. And my mom now has them all on our main computer, and our main computer our desktop doesn't work anymore, basically. It's so full. It's slow. Like it can't process everything. And it's kind of sad. I told her to put it on just an external drive.
Yes.
But she doesn't trust that. She's like, I'd rather it be the whole computer, like in the computer all the time, because then we're more careful with it.
Okay.
She says, and once I put it in an external drive, you know, like one of those big old like brick things, then it gets set aside, or someone will be like, what's that? And then use it for something else and get everything deleted. So she's...
That happened to my family.
Yeah.
My mom put it in this external drive and it actually got stolen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom burnt all of the pictures onto CDs.
Yeah.
And so she had a stack. And then I don't know what happened, but I think it just like fell off of where it was.
And it broke.
And all of them broke.
It
fell on its side. She still had all of them. You know, my mom has all of the, they were all physical copies.
Yeah.
She hadn't thrown, she got them all onto the CDs so that she could get rid of those. But then that happened within a month.
Oh, so she hadn't.
So that's when she started doing it digital instead of, you know, on CDs. I never think about CDs anymore. You know, like, I forget that they were a thing. You know, I'm so used to my phone. I'm so used to Apple Music. But the other day, Tripp found a Discman from when my mom was in high school or something. Not high school. That would be like
college?
The 90s, right? Yeah, college.
Yeah.
And it had, I guess she had used it recently. It had a Nickelback. She loves Nickelback. It had the Nickelback disc in it. And
my gosh.
He was like, look what's in here.
Look what relic I found.
Because, my brother loves memes, and everybody just riffs on Nickelback. That's all. If there's a meme about Nickelback, it's making fun of
them. Yes.
And so he was laughing so seriously. He's like, look what I found. And I'm so used to it at this point. I'm just
Tripp
is
so brilliant.
Yeah, the mom would have that, you know. Oh, man. I love those old relics, though. Because Tripp had before the Discman, he wanted a cassette player.
Oh, yeah?
For years. And I never knew why. But then he got it, and he listened to the heck out of it. So I don't know.
Aww.
I don't know if it was like Guardians of the Galaxy or what.
Oh, okay.
But he just got so into it. And then he found that, and he was like, I found another
struggled.
Treasure.
Gold, yeah.
Because now he just finds discs in the house, the old ones, and he plays them.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's such a weird difference to me. Like, if there's music that I just don't know, I don't listen to it. Like, it took till now, like, that I'm an adult, you know, like, that I can be like, I can start listening to new music.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but my whole life, it was the same stuff over and over again.
Does he like listening to vinyl, like, records?
No, he doesn't know. We haven't done that yet.
He doesn't know.
I don't think he's heard like a real vinyl.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'd like to get one. I've always wanted one. That's like the hipster side of me, I guess. But I think it sounds good.
My grandma has one, and she's like almost obsessed with it because it broke a long time ago. And my dad's like, I'll fix it for you. It took him years
to fix it.
Years to fix it, because first he had to figure out what was wrong with the programming and everything. And finally, he just got her a new one.
Yeah. That's what my dad did.
Yeah, like, that was a problem people were having a lot with them, right? Is they're almost impossible to fix once they're broken.
Yep.
And that there's been a big resurgence of new ones, so it's not hard to find a new one.
Yeah, I think my dad bought my grandpa's at Target.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think...
this is big. It, like, has a whole bunch inside the glass you see inside it, and you press the buttons.
And then it switches them out? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Her old one didn't have to take any quarters.
Okay.
And that's why, like, she loved it. But this new one, you put quarters in, but they just have, like, a little thing of quarters, and you just... You can reach in the back and just grab the quarters from the back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a lot of novelties like that anymore. Like stuff that's just entertaining in itself. It has to be like added on to something everyone already has, like a phone or something like that. There, you can't release something on its own and people are like, what's this?
Yeah.
It's something we always play at like the family holidays. Yeah. You know? Last Christmas, my sister and her boyfriend were there, and my grandma was trying to teach them how to do this certain dance.
Oh, cute.
And it was really cute.
That's adorable.
Do you know a dance?
Like, no.
It's like the chicken dance, like, but it's on the
model. It was like a couple's dance, but...
A waltz or something.
It wasn't slow.
Oh.
It was kind of like a swing dance type.
That's cool.
Have you seen people... who know how to swing dance, like, really get at it.
Oh, because you do that, don't you?
I do some line dancing,
Line dancing, that's what it is.
I cannot swing dance. I've tried. I'm not coordinated enough, and I think my arms are too short. But
short.
Yeah, because you got to, like, swing girls. You got to, like...
Oh, yeah, it's probably really... You got to get them,
like, under your arms and stuff. I have such a bad shoulder, I don't think I could move my arms those way.
Yeah.
But you watch it, and it's intense. I've seen girls get thrown up in the air, and then they, like, get caught again. And this is on like a Saturday night, you know, just like you're going out to party with your friends, and then all of a sudden you're seeing like full on acrobatics while people are wearing jeans, and you're like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
So I see it, and I'm always impressed. Like, I would love to learn how to do it, but that is some hard work, you know.
Yeah.
My buddy Josiah, he knows a few moves. He learned it back in high school. Just specifically so he could teach girls how to do it. Because they you know, every girl wants to.
Yeah.
And he's always like, if I just know all the moves, then I can just teach anybody. And then I'll never have to, like look for somebody who knows a thing again. And I'm like, all right. So he practiced all of high school, and now he's really good at it. So I think you got to really try, but you can get really impressive with that stuff.
Yeah.
It's always very startling when I see it.
Yeah.
I love that atmosphere, the country dancing or whatever. I don't know, something about them all, like the fiddles and everything that makes people like go really really hard in the paint with it. I love dancing. Do you think music came first, or do you think dancing came first?
Music.
You think?
Wait, that's so hard.
Like, give me, I'm not going to say you're right or wrong. Just tell me why. What do you think?
Well, I believe, like, people moved in general. But, like, it wasn't dancing until music. Like, it wasn't called dancing.
So everyone was just like, Phil's doing his weird flailing out in the field again. We don't know what's going on. Well, and then as soon as they heard, like, a musical note, they're like, that's what that's for. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Like,
I love this. I love hypothetical. Keep going.
You don't move. I mean, you move whenever you need to. Like,
I picture the. How do you? Like, this may be like overly generic, but like cavemen dancing around a fire. You know, didn't have music really.
But then they like drummed.
It came more from excitement.
They would or ritual.
Yeah, I think dance came first because I think that's more
I
of
do
a.
Too. Like a body, like
a natural reaction to something. You know?
I mean, you look at babies, they'll like nod their heads or like, you know, we call that dancing.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I think when music first happened, everyone was like,
yeah,
oh,
they go together.
This is the best thing ever. And then so when they started hearing it, it'd make them excited, and then they would start moving, and that's what dancing is, you know. So,
okay.
Gotcha. But I think that need to move and react has always been there.
Yeah.
And I think we all still have it. I think we all, the way we get excited about things like that interest us, I think our body still likes to react like that. And yeah. So we always have this natural like back and forth when we discover things, and then that leads to bigger connections in the long run, you know. And but that also happens in smaller bits throughout our life, you know.
Yep.
Like every time you know, I see a Nickelback CD, you know, I'll laugh.
Yeah.
And those are just coordinated now. Yeah. There's nothing naturally funny about it. Right. It's just I now have that coordination.
Yep.
What a terrible connection.
When you talked about dancing with no music, I'm currently watching, like, The Grey's Anatomy. And they'll do, like, whenever something good or happy happens, they'll be, like, 30-second dance party. And then they'll just start, like, dancing. Yeah. And then I'm like, I want to incorporate that into my life more.
Yeah, that
I want to just have 30-second dance parties.
Every time you land a plane, 30-second dance party.
Inside the plane.
Yes.
But you do
steps on the rudders, just goes plane.
You do it before you're off
forth.
The runway, though. And so
oh, my God.
So you see the plane moving out there because you're partying. And they're, oh, right, let me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me get back to the hair. Oh, man, that's funny.
That is one good thing that Austin commented on my flight the other day.
Your landings?
He's like,
well, I thought it was your dancing.
Your ILS wasn't center line the whole time, but you landed that plane very nicely. I was like, well, I worked on it for 2 years. Yeah. Should be.
Yes. I think that someone telling you had a good landing will always fix a flight.
It does. It really does. Yep.
Everything could be
terrible.
Trash. You know, like, could almost have died the whole time. But as soon as you, like, you land and you can't even, like, feel the bump of the ground because it was so smooth, and they're like, that was the best landing I've ever. All of that other stuff melts away.
Yeah.
And the next flight, you're just like, all right, man, got to do that landing again. So you should be focusing on the stuff you messed up.
Yeah.
But really, it's all about the landing. No.
Yeah.
Goal.
Yeah. I think it's good because since you have to land the plane, you know, every time we get really good at it. So we have these built-in skills now where it's I can always fall back on. Well, if anything goes wrong, I can land the plane.
Yeah.
I know how to do that perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's also, I feel like that's a confidence boost in the long run because it's, oh, well, now I'm willing to learn more and do these other things because I know how to land like a perfectionist, you know?
Yeah.
And it is true. I see some of those landings, they're just so baby smooth, you know? Like they look so good. And then sometimes you got ones like
bad.
Where the landing gear goes out, you know, and you still have to keep flying or, you know, or there's traffic on the runway, you know, and that stuff. But you just always can adapt, you know, because you get so used to it. My main problem with landing is I'm still trying to do other things while like talk on the radio or talk to the guy next to me. And it doesn't really affect the landing. It's just I know that you're supposed to have like a sterile cockpit when you do it. So that's what I'm working on with my landings right now is that sort of popped up where I talk when I'm landing and I shouldn't really do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have troubles like voicing what I'm thinking. And Austin, my flight instructor, keeps on telling me like talk it through.
It
really helps me. But it's like I'll be going through the steps of my procedure and I'll be in my head about it the whole time. And I need to think about like what's coming up next. But I'm still, like, in the moment. And talking really helps me and then until I get to that landing point. And I think that would mess me up, too.
Is that a recent thing? He's told you to start talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember my freshman year, they told me to just talk. Because I would try to ball it all in to be professional. Like, just know what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, look like you know.
But it was, like, the second flight where they were telling me, oh, no, say everything.
Yeah.
Like even if it's something not related, just
voice it.
If it's part of the thinking process, say it. And then that did start to develop a kind of a flow of, all right, this means this. And then if you just start talking like that during the flight, it becomes so second nature that when someone brings up a question or I need you to do this maneuver, your brain is already making those connections throughout the flight. So it's like, oh, let me just go right back into that.
Yep.
And it does make the flight easier. I think once you try to have that professional, you know, like don't speak, don't like just try to look like you're the most impressive pilot. You know, that's when the pressure is too much and you'll make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, humility is a big part of flying, I think.
Yep.
Even though we got to act like we're awesome the whole time.
Because we are.
Yeah, because we are. I mean, we are. We got to, but that's the thing. We got to act humble. That's it. No.
Act humble.
Just kidding.
Pretend like you're humble.
No, I know. I love everyone in aviation here at Quincy. They're all very nice, you know.
Yes.
So it's a very welcoming group.
The best people that I've met, I would say.
Yeah, no, they're all so nice. They're so accepting. So friendly. You know, I'm not gonna put them above anyone else, so. but I will say out of all of the groups here at Quincy, I'd say the aviation is accepting to everybody, and that's a good atmosphere to have, you know, especially with something as stressful as flying a plane. you need that support, you need that friendliness, so that's really good, guys. You guys are the best, they're like the
go us,
the main example of that. So go us. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Yeah
Breakfast Club. Fist up.
If I knew which one of these buttons did it, I would. Nope. there we go.
Yes.
Awesome. There we go. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining me for the QU podcast. It's been a lovely conversation talking about flying, talking about holidays and family. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up?
No. It was great to talk to you, too.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening to the QU podcast.